Psalm 121, 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. Psalm 121, 3. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber nor sleep. Psalm 121, 3. Isaiah 60, 1. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Isaiah 60, 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Isaiah 60, 1. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study, please. Father, we are thankful for another opportunity to move ourselves away from the various distractions of this world and focus our minds upon these eternal truths. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of receiving spiritual fuel from your Word daily so that we can see from a divine vertical viewpoint and not from a human horizontal viewpoint. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to advance, to grow in grace and knowledge. Help us to understand that when we receive truth, we receive gnosis, God's Word. And a believer must get beyond gnosis to really comprehend God's love and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how to love. So we're thankful today for the challenge which is ours once again to look at these magnificent verses. Thank you for your grace and for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. On the screen now you see Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We spend a few moments doing exegetical studies. Now, to the one being able, beyond all things, to do superabundantly, of which we ask or think, according to the power operating in us. When we look at this verse of Scripture exegetically, we see that a believer must get beyond gnosis. We have to get beyond gnosis to really comprehend God's love. We have to get beyond gnosis to comprehend the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and also how to love. This is a powerful verse indeed. We're looking at it exegetically now. Notice, if you will, those first words on the screen. A believer must get beyond gnosis to really comprehend God's love. We have to get beyond gnosis to comprehend the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, how to really love. We have some unique words in this verse of Scripture. We refer to these in the first session. We refer to them again in this session. Some unique words are used. The first one is dunameno, dunameno, or dunamai. The way that the word is used, we emphasize and we repeat. It's a present, passive, participle, dative, masculine, singular. Oh, if I could only take you beyond just a few words and see the meaning that is presented to us by the description of this particular verb. The PPP stands for present passive participle. If we've seen this enough over the years, we've been able to detect what these letters mean. If you don't, that's okay. What I want you to be able to do, though, is to see how this word is used here. Present tense means continuous action. Passive voice means the subject receives the action. The participle is presenting the events related to this particular word. Then you see that it is a participle. When you have a participle, you have not only conjugation related to the verbal part of it, but you see declension in relationship to the fact that it is a declension of a noun. And that's the reason why you have the dative, masculine, singular. We won't go into any more detail there other than to point out the fact that we have next beyond, which is a Greek word, huper, H-U-P-E-R. I put it in English for you to see, and then for you to see in the Greek. And then the next word is ponte, which is all things. And the next word is the aorist active infinitive of poeo. We mentioned this in the session preceding this one. The word do is an interesting word. Poeo is to do or to make. And then we have the emphasis upon the fact that this is what takes place in the believer's life as he or she moves along. Now to the one being able, beyond all things, to do superabundantly, of which we ask or we think, according to the power operating in us. The word we ask is a present middle indicative verb, ateo. The word think, we think, is a present active indicative verb, poeo. And you'll notice the rest of it, power, operating power, middle voice, subject participates in the action, is benefited thereby, and participating in us and operating power in each one of us as believers. What we're trying to do now is to share with you the fact that in this life, we're not to stay as a believer receiving truth, but not adding to that truth and finding ourselves climbing up the mountain to the mountain peak of the echo zone. The words I use today are choice words. The peak of Echo Zone Mountain is not only worthwhile, but it is the most valuable possession of life. What I would encourage you to do is to remember those words. If you can remember them without writing it down, okay. If you cannot remember these words without writing them, I would encourage you to write them. The peak of Echo Mountain is not only worthwhile, but it is the most valuable possession of life. I don't want to go to the next page until you think with me about what I'm saying. We're talking about the believer advancing over a period of weeks, months, and years. The goal of this church for all of these years has been for the pastor and the congregation to grow, advance in God's Word. So that when we face life on a day-by-day basis, each week, we're confronted with various obstacles. We're confronted with various problems and difficulties. And the question is, how do we face those challenging experiences? We want to face those challenging experiences and see it from a divine vertical viewpoint rather than seeing it from a human viewpoint. When we see things from a human viewpoint, what we're going to do is punch panic buttons. We're going to fall apart. And that's not God's plan for us. What I've tried to do for these 43 years is to help myself and help you to see things from a divine vertical viewpoint. The reason why you need to be here and the reason why you need to stay here and continue to listen is because we're getting a little step and another step to be able to see more clearly from a divine viewpoint. The peak of Echo Mountain is not only worthwhile, but it is the most valuable possession of life. So I can move to the next page. The question I have for you is, how do you get to the mountain peak? How do you get to the mountain peak? The answer to that is, you get there by SFRIS. Now, isn't that something? What in the world, preacher, do you mean by that? SFRIS. It means spiritual food residing in the soul. Most of you have heard that over the last 40 some odd years. Some of you are newer and you haven't heard that. So let's look at it again. We're challenged by the Spirit of God to get to the mountain peak. How do we get to the mountain peak? You get there by daily residing spiritual food residing in the soul. When you get there, your spiritual capacity will be enlarged. Notice if you know it will, please, I didn't say that you're going to be coming to the conclusion of your spiritual growth. You get there by spiritual food residing in the soul daily. And when you get there, your spiritual capacity will be enlarged. There's a reason for me saying this today, because I want you to see that God knows all about you and me, and all He also knows about our spiritual advance. He knows about our individual personal capacity. I promise you, since He knows, first class conditional clause, and He does, He knows when He can pour blessings, whatever blessings He chooses, on you and me without those blessings ruining us. He knows when to bless and when not to bless, because He knows all about us and our spiritual capacity. This message can be so misunderstood if people are not able to see from a vertical vantage point what I'm trying to get over. Oftentimes people can hear and not really hear. They can hear and they can draw conclusions from their own background, and their background is such that they're not seeing what I'm saying in the way I'm saying it. Do you follow what I just now said? Amen. I want you to be able to see that you can misunderstand, and I don't want you to misunderstand. I want you to be able to see that God knows, and God is able to see your advance and my advance over a period of weeks and months and years, and He knows about our spiritual capacity. And in the light of the fact that He knows your spiritual capacity and my spiritual capacity, He knows what He can do for us and what He cannot do for us. He knows that there are some things He could do for us. If He did it for us, it would bring greater difficulty to our lives than happiness and success. He could bless us with a lot of things, but if the things ruin us, He chooses not to let us have those things. In the light of what I've just been saying, you'll be able to hear now what I have for you in the future, today, in relationship to capacity. How do you get to the mountain peak? You get there by daily spiritual food residing in your soul. I didn't say your husband's soul, your wife's soul, your children's soul, your mother and daddy's soul. I didn't say that. I said, your soul, my soul. This is personal. This is individual. Your daddy, your mother, your sons, your daughters, they do not make the decisions for you of spiritual advance. You alone make those decisions. I want you to realize that you and I have the responsibility to advance and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. I realize that I'm interrupting myself for a few seconds to let you know that on the screen we put this morning names of those who were with us when we started 43 years ago. And I noticed two of those individuals just came in. Nikki, wave at us, will you please? And Fred, wave at us. There he is, David. All right. I want you to realize that we get to the mountain peak by spiritual food residing in the soul. And when you get there, your spiritual capacity is enlarged. And there's a beautiful Greek word that I'm going to give you now that you're going to enjoy. It is the word wealth. It is the word riches. It is the word possessions. It is the word benefits. It is the word abundance. On the screen, I'm going to put these words. The Greek word is plutos. When you go home today, you ought to be saying over and over to yourself, plutos, plutos, plutos. The reason I said it that many times loudly is because you probably will remember it easier if I say it that way. Plutos. What does the word plutos mean? P-L-O-U-T-O-S. It means riches. It means wealth. It means possessions. It means abundance. It means benefits. Now, I realize what some of you think. When you think about the word riches, you only think about one thing, and that's money. Please do me a favor and don't only use that word. In heaven, there will be far more blessings than materialistic blessings. But while we're on the earth, God desires to bless the mature believer with success, with promotion, with wealth, with abundance, benefits. Wipe out in your thinking now anything related to the material and think in terms of spiritual blessings. There's not anything greater for you and me today than for us to know that we are the recipients of great spiritual blessings. We have the enjoyment of knowing Jesus Christ personally. We have the enjoyment of knowing that we're only one heartbeat from being in His presence forever and forever. We're only one breath away from being with our Savior for millions and millions and billions of years. What I want you to do with me today is to get a total picture. But in getting a total picture, we have to bring it down and see some other things. When a believer stays with God's plan, is perceptive to God's word, and is consistent in the intake of spiritual food, that individual will have an enlarged capacity, which makes it possible. Notice, if you will, the words are chosen, which makes it possible. Not saying this is going to be it, saying it makes it possible for God to reign, pour, douse, him, her, with material and physical blessings, and yet not ruin the individual. The money situation, number three, is no effort for God. But capacity on the believer's part is always the problem. Did you get that? What's important here is for me to let you know that the money situation actually is no effort for God, but capacity on your part and mine can always be the problem. Number four, God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He desires to herd a large number of those onto your spiritual ranch. And you say, well, why do you say that? Because when I go to Psalm 50, 10, 11, and 12, I read that. Number five, the source of all wealth then is God. And God has all these things with no place to put them, since so many believers are sloppy, indifferent, and too filled with selfish desires to be consistent enough, disciplined enough, to advance to the top of the grace abounding mountain peak and receive capacity to receive whatever God wants to give. Plutos. Number six. Now you could see that I could stop on any one of these points and we could just stay there for a while, but I have to give you a summary. Number six, the Christian way of life, CWL, means receiving spiritual food, SF, and advancing to maturity, and advancing beyond maturity, and gaining capacity for life. We present a lot of things in letter form. Many times when new people come in, they ask us, what does CFL mean? What does FF means? The reason why we use this is because we abbreviate and move on rapidly. And when many times when I say one particular presentation of a few letters, you know it without any explanation, so I don't have to take the time to explain it. The Christian way of life, CWL, is receiving spiritual food, SF, and advancing to maturity and beyond, gaining capacity for life, CFL, and then being the recipient of whatever God wants to give to a person who is not going to be ruined by what is given. Number seven, God is not on starvation row, and there's nothing spiritual about believers suffering so-called for Jesus. When there's capacity, there will be blessings. And you have to remember that there are some statements that were made at the beginning. If you hear this without putting it with those preceding statements, you'll misunderstand. And you'll go away saying things that the preacher is not presenting. God is not on starvation row. There's nothing spiritual about believers suffering, so-called for Jesus. When there is capacity, there will be blessings. When there's capacity, God understands the capacity. God is aware of the capacity. And so there's no starvation in God's essence. When I talk about God's essence, what am I saying? God is sovereign. God is righteous. God is love. God is eternal life. God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. God is immutability. God is veracity. That's God's essence abbreviated. There are no limitations there. What you and I must be able to see as we grow in advance in God's grace is how great, big God is. There's no poverty in God's attributes. Number eight. Not every Mountain Peak believer is going to be a multimillionaire. If you missed all the other points, put this one down, please. Notice the letters. Not every Mountain Peak believer, MPB, Mountain Peak believer, Echo Zone believer. Not every Mountain Peak believer, not every Echo Zone believer will become a multimillionaire. That's putting it in terms material. This is far greater than that. If you're listening open-mindedly, you're seeing it. If you're listening with a closed mind, you're going to miss it. There will be many variations that God handles capacity, but all of them are great. Are you with me? Do you see what I'm trying to get over? Oh my. There's just no way that I can word this in such a fashion that I could be assured that every individual in this auditorium and every person hearing my voice comprehends what is being presented. When I look at this verse, it is so magnificent. Now, to the one being able, beyond all things, to superabundantly, of which we ask or think, according to the dynamite, the power that's operating in each individual's life. When I look at these words, you have to see how powerful they are. There's the word power, dynamite, explosive, far greater than anything you could ever imagine. God is a great God. God owns everything. God knows all things. And God knows you individually and me individually. And He sees and knows exactly where we've been over the past weeks and months and years. He knows the capacity. He knows our perception. He knows our desire. He knows whether we want to learn and grow and advance or not. He knows about our indifferences. He knows about our lethargy, our coolness, our indifference on a day-by-day basis to Him and His Word. He knows all about this. And He certainly knows how to handle each one of us. I trust you're able to see what I'm saying. God knows. All you have to do is take a look at the attributes, the essence of God, all these things I just mentioned a few moments ago, operating in us. And I have to tell you again that word operation there is made up of a compound word. Do you want to hear it? It's a little preposition at the first of it, in. And the next part of the word is E-R-G-E-O, from which we get energy. Energy of God within. How beautiful. And it's described as God operating inside of each born-again individual. Can you just think for a moment how powerful it is to know that God is operating in your individual life? You see how personal this is? And I can promise you, God knows all about the problem. The problem is not God. The problem is always determined by our capacity. That's the problem. I do not know, but I've thought about this a lot. And I've not been able to talk about it a lot. But I've been able to dream. And I'm just trusting and thanking the Lord that He allows me to dream. I dream about our church. I dream about the fact that my life on this earth may not be all that much longer. But God's grace and this church will go on for years and years until the rapture occurs. And I have dreams. And I really want to talk about it. Some of you may want me to talk about it. But sometimes I hesitate to talk about it. Because some of you are going to think this preacher is so far out that he's crazy the way he's thinking. But I don't think I am. Because of what I'm teaching you right now. When this congregation, however large or small, that's not the issue. When this congregation and this preacher advances to the point that we could be the recipients of blessings beyond our imagination, and we would have advanced to the point that the blessings would not ruin us, would not mess us up, then that's what I'm dreaming about. Even to the point of thinking about things that could take place 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now if the rapture doesn't occur. By the way, if the rapture occurs, doesn't make any difference, does it? It's wonderful. But if that does not occur, may or may not, it doesn't hurt for us to pray and to stay with God's plan and increase capacity so that however He wants to bless, we'll be able to take His blessings and not be ruined thereby. That is about as far as I've been able to get so far with this congregation in my thinking over the past 43 years. And some of you right now are thinking with me, and some of you have already tuned out. And that's okay. I want you to know, whether you think it or not, I'm not crazy. I've thought, I've prayed, I've analyzed, I've dreamed. And the dreams are beyond anything that I could explain. God knows how to handle you and you as a family and Grace Bible Church for coming weeks and months and years. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful today for the fact that you have allowed us to see some things that are determined by spiritual advance, reaching the mountain peak, being able to have a capacity so that we can be blessed without being ruined by the blessings. We thank you for our family of grace, and we pray that you will guide us, that we may understand the importance of loving the Lord Jesus Christ preeminently and loving the Word of God like which we've never loved the Word of God in the past. And that we will be advancing, determined believers so that we can see on a day-by-day basis from a divine, vertical viewpoint and not from a human viewpoint. And as we close the service today, we realize that there may be someone hearing this voice who's never accepted Jesus, and they could do it now. Salvation is a gift from God. It's the gift of eternal life. It's life that lasts forever in heaven. We pray that there will be those who will make the decision now It's the most important decision ever to be made. And that's to believe and to accept Jesus Christ personally. We thank you for loving us. We're the recipients of love. We realize that we cannot love properly unless we move gnosis, knowledge, on up the mountain peak to epinosis so that we can utilize and make application of spiritual truths. We thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.